4, 3.
Welcome to Working Musicians, a feature of theworkingmusician.com. I'm your host, Roger Z. So proud to bring live music to the Westchester area. Tonight, my special guest, part 2, Axis Trio. And my favorite part now, introducing the people. First, we'll start with the knot leader, which is Sam Minai on bass. The knot composer, Amino Belyamani. And the knot drummer, Kasim Naqvi. So, I feel like a gringo speaking Spanish, but what the heck. So, it's great, part 2. We got to know you guys a little bit last show. You play alternative jazz. You went to school together in L.A., although you're not originally from L.A. I think it was Nevada, Connecticut, and Morocco. Nice combination. But you clicked at school. I asked why a trio, not a quartet. You gave me an interesting answer. What was your answer?
What was your answer?
3 points, yeah. Make an axis.
Oh yeah, that had to do with the title of the band. Mm-hmm. 3 points. As to why we are a trio, I think it was just because the initial interaction we had during that one time, that sort of informal concert, and it just seemed right as a trio. So.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I find, personally, in a band situation, I mostly play in a trio for economic reasons. Mm-hmm. But trios, it's like if you have a four-legged chair and one of the legs is a little off, mm-hmm. it's not as bad as a three-legged chair with one of the legs off.
That's true.
So, anyway, we thought we'd talk about... You're an interesting group because you combine kind of a spontaneous interaction with written structure, which is not completely unusual. But why don't you guys talk about how you prepare your songs, how you compose them, and how you arrange them?
So one of us usually brings at a rehearsal some sort of sketch, but printed out, not as in sketch. But we usually immediately know that this isn't finite, and we immediately consider starting the song or tune at a different part or jumping to different sections, and we make notes. And from there on, everybody gives their input on what they think sounds good or bad, and throughout the rehearsal, we modify what was the original score. And usually what's really funny, actually we were talking about that the other day, is that if we were to really print out a score of how we really play it, we would get confused, because now we have this visual memory of, oh, when we get to this bar, it's we do something different. So we're reading it, but it's not what we're reading, we're playing something else. So
that's great, so you're reading music and playing something else.
Yeah, so nice. That's really... the idea.
You know, it's very interesting. I was, sometimes I go to Wikipedia and I read about different groups. So I read a little bit about Weather Report for some reason. And Weather Report, when you have a name like Weather Report, you can do personnel changes.
Right.
I was reading about Stephen Stills from Crosby, Stills, and Nash. One of the reasons they called it Crosby, Stills, and Nash is because they didn't want anybody replaced. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting to me, you guys seem to be like a Minai, Belyamani, Naqvi mm-hmm. band, more than a Weather Report.
It's a really good point, actually, yeah.
So would you, let's say your drummer got sick, would you mm-hmm. go out without him?
They wouldn't know.
I mean, really? Yeah, I mean, it's not what you said on the phone last night. I never heard the conversation you were having.
No, I mean, you know, for the sake of a performance, we might have to replace them, but in that case, it's not Axis Trio. Yeah. I mean, we play completely different music, it's completely different. You know, we wouldn't I can't even imagine approaching this music that we've written and arranged together with this band with any other members.
Until he gets hit by a bus.
Okay.
Yeah. Old Cliff Burton.
Okay.
Holidays to you too.
Questions. Now you've done 4 gigs since you've been in town. Mm-hmm. Where have you played?
We played at the Tea Lounge in Park Slope. We've played at the Public Assembly in Williamsburg. We've played at
Douglas Street
With Music Collective, which is a space put together by Music Collective in Gowanus.
Yeah.
And we played at
Ivy.
Right.
Now, you were telling me you have something upcoming this Tuesday. Mm-hmm. What's that?
We have our new CD is being released next week, and we have a CD release party in Brooklyn at a club called Corzo.
Say that again.
It's a club called Corzo. Corzo.
Cool. Mm-hmm. And now I'm going to take this moment to show your older CD called The Axis Trio. And what's the title of it?
The Hand.
The Hand. We good? All right, I got the thumb. I want to thank the crew working with me today, Kim, Keith, and Rena. They do a fantastic job, though they do get paid for it. Let's not forget that. But they do a great job. You guys ready to play some music for us?
Sure.
What I'd like you to do is introduce the tune.
Okay.
And then play the tune.
You got it.
All right, so this tune is called When the Curd Meets the Rennet. Curd as in curd of the milk and cheese, and rennet as in enzymes you find in a cow's digestive system. So this tune is written by me, and we're going to play it. Hope you enjoy.
Ready? beautiful. That reminded me of Pharaoh's Dance from Bitches Brew, Miles Davis. Hmm. Yeah. I ask you to pick up your your mic there. Just hook it on while the sound's off. Beautiful. What do you got next for us?
It's another piece I wrote called Ichika, and those are sounds usually attributed as syllables for percussive rhythms. So it's not English or any other language.
Okay. Thank you.
this next tune is a new tune by Cossum. It's called The Etude.
About each of your playing, so I thought I'd like to talk about it. Number one, What the heck is that gold thing on your drum head? Lift it up. Yes, what is that?
Actually, I think this is just a home decoration.
And why do you put it on your tom-tom?
Well, I guess in certain kinds of ethnic music, there's this idea of like a buzz, you know, like a kind of distortion that you get when you hit certain drums. And the reason I like to put stuff on my heads is because it makes the skins kind of, it creates like a buzz, you know. Like a
now take it off and let's hear it. Okay, cool. Now, I was interested with you, why you're using this mic. Most of the acoustic bass players who come in here have a built-in mic.
Well, actually, I'm using both. I have a pickup that's going to this small amp, and then I usually like to blend the sound with a microphone. And I forgot my microphone that I usually use, and so that's why we're using this.
Okay, so you got a combination of sounds.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. Now, my friend Amino, I noticed, except for the last song, you're playing mostly with one hand. Why is that?
To get have access to these knobs and these two other knobs that are part of the roads.
So it's almost like you're playing one of those keyboard synthesizers that hang down where they play with one hand and then twiddle the knobs with the other.
Keytar.
Yes, a keytar.
In a way, yeah.
Amino's a very prolific keytarist, actually.
Oh, you have one?
No, this is just joking.
Okay. Why do you keep the head of this open?
Also, what to have access to this? Well, one reason is a technical reason, because this road's has been through a lot of stuff, and so it's unpredictable. Some days, like, no, won't work, so I want to have direct access. If the hood is on, and I don't want to do that on stage, and it causes distraction.
Oh, my God.
And then to also control controls of attacks and decays of the notes.
I remember the bad old days in the early 70s when I played in a rock quartet and the guy had a Rhodes, and every show one key would go out. Mm-hmm. So I understand exactly what you mean by keeping the head open. Okay, quickly, what I want to do, we have this feature we talk about, we got 2 minutes. Who would play in your dream band, living or dead? Okay? Who wants to go first? Amino.
Well, they're all dead, but a dream band drummer.
That way they can't talk back, so that's good.
Dream drummer would be Elvin Jones. Dream saxophone player, John Coltrane. And bass player, actually, is not a jazz bass player, but a Gembri player that passed away last year, Mustafa Bakbu.
What player?
Gembri is this African that's mostly played in Morocco, Mauritania, the Northwest African region. It's this bass sounding instrument. It doesn't look like a bass, but looks more like, I guess, a weird banjo, maybe.
It's a three string bass zither.
Yeah. And it sounds really funky, and it's awesome.
That sounds awesome. What about you, Sam?
Well, not to get too sentimental, but this is pretty much it.
Okay. Well, people really want to know your influence.
Yeah, totally. I guess it's weird. I thought about that for a while after you had asked that, and
you've got 10 seconds, my friend.
Well, then I can't do it because I can't do it. I can't.
Next.
Jimi Hendrix, Henry Threadgill, Wayne Shorter, Charlie Gayden, and Square Pusher.
Mm-hmm. Did you say Charlie Daniels?
Charlie Hayden, the bassist.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Square Pusher, who's an electronic musician.
He's a bass player.
And a bass player, too.
Yeah, my dream band wouldn't have me in it, it would have Charlie Hayden in it. So.
All right, I want to thank you guys so much for coming down and exposing our audience to this fine sound of music. You guys have a groove. You got something happening. I can hear it. It's awesome. I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.
And we'll see you around.
Thanks for having us.
We're done.
All right, thanks, guys. Good job.
You like that? You're so mellow, huh? Or my way of getting out of that.
forgot about Hendrix. That was